This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. I've got Chapter 2 of the brand new Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition, with all the cool cameo appearances. We had Veronica Jaguer last week doing an amazing job as Meredith McIntyre, doomed as she was, sorry. This week, there's no cameos in this chapter. It's chapter two, because we're kind of just in the mind of BC, the main character. And, of course, that's me. I'm reading BC as I narrate the book. But we meet BC in this chapter. The governor of Lunar Prime just died on the dais at the peace conference she was hosting. And, of course, we find out why in this chapter, as we get into the mind of BC. Our friendly neighborhood Vatican Assassin. Remember to go back an episode if you are just starting, because this is chapter two, and I don't want you to get, you know, lost this early. Usually, as we get into the book, I'll do a big kind of story so far, but I figure, you know, it's chapter two, so I'm going to tell you, just go back and listen to the last chapter right now. It's free. It's on the podcast, episode 591. Can you believe that? We're almost up to episode 600. How crazy is that? For a weekly podcast. That took like a year off. Right around the time of Vatican Ambassador. Wasn't quite a full year. But I was putting the episodes up just on Podio Books and not as a podcast for some reason. I got confused. Didn't last long. But like maybe, I don't know, half a year. But other than that, this has been, you know, well, we're almost at 600, so it's been pretty steady. But yeah, go back to 591 and listen to chapter one if you're just catching up now. Little bit of book news. You can get this book. It is out now as an ebook everywhere. Paperbacks available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Still not at the indie place yet, not at bookshop.org, although all my other books are there, so I'm assuming it's going to get picked up by them. The audiobook is everywhere, except Audible. Audible is still not catching up, but you can get it at Google Play, at Kobo, at Apple Books iTunes, at the Nook Audiobook Store, at Scribd, at Chirp. The audiobook is out, but just not at Audible. I can let you know, too, that I've gotten back into writing the next Alibi Jones book. I still don't have a title for this thing, so that's something I'm trying to think of. Every once in a while, I just sort of brainstorm a little bit. But I can't tell you what the title ideas are, because, well, I've shared some in the past, but I'm just not ready to reveal what the book is about yet. But I did get back into writing it, which is nice, and now it's over 17,000 words, so I mean, it's seriously on its way, which feels pretty good. And that's about it for book news, so we'll get into Chapter 2 of Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition, the special new audiobook, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Now here's Chapter 2 of Vatican Assassin. 15th Anniversary Edition on Glow in the Dark Radio. This is not fun. This is not where I want to be right now. Who would want to be here? Sunk up to my knees in sewerage, recycled fluids, and God knows what else, in one of the waste transport tunnels under Lunar Prime. Beautiful place, try it on your next weekend getaway. It smells like steaming, decomposing garbage, shit, rotten tomatoes, sulfur, urine, dirty socks, disinfectant, and vomit. What else do I smell? Shouldn't dwell on it. A wonderful bouquet. I'm trying to keep remembering that it is of vital importance that I be here doing this right now. Trying to remind myself I do the Lord's work, right? Yeah, right. That matters. That makes it different, makes it special. The Lord's work. Who's Lord? Who am I kidding? They've got me, so I do this for them, for whatever reasons and excuses they make up. Sure, this is for the Lord. Whatever. God thinks I should kill and then wade through this crap, huh? God's pretty fucking twisted then. The shit is filling into my boots and seeping up the legs of my pants. Not only does it smell like hell, it's burning my skin, too. It's a torture all its own. The big guy would probably say, using this tunnel as an escape route is my penance. Even though I'm supposedly doing the Lord's work, I must atone for my sin. Forgive me, Lord, for assassinating the governor of the moon, but I did it for you. It's supposed to be easy this time. A quick hit, fast exit, quick change, and back into the hall before any grow wiser. It has to be flawless. The governor is a major target for the OPO. I got in and administered the toxin quickly and effectively. Arrived with the cardinal for the reception, ducked out to use the bathroom after establishing my presence, stepped past the men's room to the green room, where the governor was waiting. So sorry, ma'am, just lost, new to the place. By the way, I'm the new public relations aide to the cardinal, Father Bernard Campion. Extend hand with small killbots on fingertips, shake her hand and exchange the killbots, send them off to do their work. Nice to meet you, Father. The men's room is right over there. You're about the fourth person today to do that. She left. Seemed nice. Too bad. She had to be eliminated for the greater good. To save lives. This is what they tell me, anyway. She's UIN, or at least a sympathizer. We can't let her give them the moon. All the recent UIN attacks have been launched from Mars. The UIN only have a few stolen transspace ships that are powerful enough to make the trip between Earth and Mars fast enough to be effective. If she delivers Lunar Prime to them, they can launch attacks from here. They could bring a lot more of their less powerful ships to the moon from Mars and use the moon as a staging base for those ships. Then, when they attack us, their ships won't have to travel so far. And they'll be able to use a lot more of them against us at once. We can't let her give them the moon. But, as the big guy would say, ours is not to question why. I did as I was instructed. I did the Lord's work. After I left the governor, I went back out and into the men's room, and dropped down here through a maintenance hatch. Then it was supposed to be a quick trip down this access tunnel to the next hatch. But where's the next fucking hatch? It's here somewhere. Right here. No, just a random access panel. It's got to be here somewhere. It's in the plan. I'll find it. The plan. Let's see. When I find the hatch, I'll go up and out through a maintenance closet off the main mall near the restrooms on the opposite end of the conference hall from where the governor was. I'll change into my spare clothes I stashed near there and head back to the conference. I'll be seen coming back from the opposite direction from where the governor was for misdirection's sake. Strike up a quick conversation or two on the way back to establish my presence. Then I walk back into the hall, into the chaos that has ensued. The plan. Man, this sucks. I made a fast exit, all right. Nearly slid under the surface of this gunk when I slipped down the access hatch out of the bathroom. I knew I'd run into something down here, but this is disgusting. Glad I've got the change of clothes hidden near the other restrooms. I knew to expect some slime, but this... The next hatch should be right about here. Should lead to that closet and those other restrooms. But I don't feel it. Damn tunnel wall's so smooth. This tunnel is carved right out of the lunar rock. Marble smooth walls, ceiling and floor, all rounded for easy slippage and falling on one's face or ass into the combined excrement of the moon's largest settlement. Oh joy, oh bliss. The glorious life of an agent of the Office of Papal Operations, BC, my boy. I can almost hear the big guy, the old man, in my head. See him in the robes of his office as he speaks words that seem somehow wrong, coming from such a blessedly adorned figure. She must be eliminated, my son, so that many more will not die. It is God's will, you see. You, as always, Father Campion, are merely his instrument. Instrument. Huh. I am feeling pretty played right about now. Light and sound break the dark silence. Alarms. Flashing white and red light. A voice saying something unintelligible. Shit, what's that? An alarm? Wonderful. Nice light show. Something's talking, too. Amplified, but still muffled. Some kind of warning. Great, just great. Hallelujah, everybody. Too far away to see it yet, but it sounds like an automated security bug. No human lunar security cop would want to come down here. Ugh, the smell is getting worse. I didn't think that was possible. The security robot is getting closer. It's making a sizzling noise. Must be sweeping around the tunnel with lasers, superheating the sludge whenever it fires down into it. Oh no. Oh man. I can feel the waves of warm shit flowing down past my legs through the sludge, superheated by the security bug's lasers, heating up the shit. This just sucks. At least the announcement is getting clearer. There's a positive, huh?
Non-standard behavior, including unauthorized access to these maintenance tunnels, is to be reported, investigated, and resolved to the satisfaction of lunar security. Unauthorized access to this area is covered under the Lunar Emergency Powers Act and is classified as highly suspicious. Extreme force is authorized, even automated extreme force, as provided under the war codes. A general state of emergency has been declared by the Lunar Free Colony. Any non-standard behavior, including unauthorized access to these maintenance tunnels, is to be reported, investigated, and resolved to the satisfaction of lunar security. Unauthorized access.
The robot's getting closer. I can see the white strobe flashing, the red laser sweeping a webbed pattern around its perimeter. Man, I can hear the sludge bubbling and sizzling. It's definitely getting hotter. Still can't find the damn hatch.
Highly suspicious. Extreme force is authorized, even automated extreme force, as provided under the war codes. A general state of emergency.
Finally, there's the rim of the hatch. It's about chin high. Let's see what the sign on the hatch says. Access 14, Lunar Reclamation System, Tunnel 28C. Ahoy, me mateys, there she blows. In the nick of time, too. Damn goo is getting too hot, damn. Where's the control panel? There. Clicks! Good sound! Whirring gears inside the hatch. And another click. The hatch swings in. BC pulls himself up through the hatch as lasers from the security bot start to reach him. A red beam slices into the bottom of his right boot before he pulls it through the hatch. Damn! Red and white light flashes and splays chaotically across the hatch as he shoves it closed behind him. He's in a small space, a meter and a half square around, with no visible ceiling. It's another tunnel carved right out of the lunar rock, this time leading up. There's a ladder carved into the wall in front of him. He climbs up easily in the light lunar gravity. There's another hatch in the wall at the top, just above the last rung of the ladder. Locked. He takes out a small silver cylinder, his hand laser. It glows red on the end as he fires it up. He focuses a short, intense beam and runs it along the seam of the hatch. The seam smokes as his laser cuts through it. He works his way around the hatch door. He braces himself, his back against the tunnel wall opposite the hatch, and kicks the hatch in. It falls with a soft thud. That's wrong. Clang, yes. Soft thud, no. He looks through the hatchway. The hatch has landed on something. On someone, actually. It's hard to see. Dim emergency lighting in here. It's a maintenance closet, a storage area, toxicological suits and lockers, broken old cleaners piled off to one side, and a woman lying on the floor under the fallen hatch door. Is she all right? Is she unconscious? Why is anyone in here anyway? He climbs through the hatch, drops to the floor next to the woman. She's wearing a uniform. Wonderful! A lunar security cop? All right, God, how about a little help here? Could you work out a helpful coincidence for a change? I'm not looking for a miracle. Just a little help here, come on. I wonder if that security bot sent out an alert. Shit, why else would she be here? He checks her pulse. She's still alive, just knocked out. Should be fine. Looks like she took a good whomp on the head from this thing, though. That's good. I do try to limit my killings to just one a day. Any more than that, and I'd begin to think it was becoming a bad habit. Bit morbid. She's pretty. Like a sleeping Latina angel. Hope she stays sleeping for a while. Damn, though, this is not in the plan. I'm leaving too big a footprint here now. She's bound to report this, even if she never sees me. And this is taking time I don't have. Gotta move. He picks up the hatch and props it back up in its original position. He puts the hand laser on a slightly lower setting and runs it back along the seam around the hatch, fusing it back into place. The lunar security cop on the floor begins to stir as he finishes. He slides past her, across the room, in his damaged shoes and soaked pants. She begins to move her head. BC reaches the closet exit and tries the door. Locked. He uses his hand laser again. The door's lock gives a good fight, but loses. BC burns through and pushes the door open. The door slides halfway open, then stops. Shit. Well, it'll have to do. He slides through. If I'm doing your work, why won't you cut me any slack, huh? He's in a small side corridor off the main dome of Lunar Prime. He edges down the right side of the corridor toward the atrium, tries not to look suspicious, covered in sewer sludge, and smelling as bad as he looks. He pulls his priestly collar off and pockets it. No need to look that suspicious. BC leans out of the corridor to visually scan the area ahead, the edge of the central atrium for Lunar Prime. Groups of tall pines tower over, stretching to the starry roof of the dome. Like a forest in a mall. Pine needles and plastic. My bag should be just over by the trunk of that huge pine. I don't see it from here. Good hiding job, let's hope. He ducks out of the corridor and into the first stand of pine trees in the atrium. He tries to nonchalantly search around for sign of his bag. It's not here. How can it not be here? Is this the wrong group of trees? No, right trees. He pokes around under the pines and walks into a sprinkler hidden by the needles. He feels his left ankle twist the wrong way and he starts to fall. Ouch, damn! He breaks his fall and plops down onto the pine needles and grass. He sits, massages his ankle, and looks around for any sign of his bag. Looks like it was stolen. There's an indentation in the bushes under the trees where I left it. It was here. It should be right here. These are the trees. Come on. Any helpful coincidences? Who would steal a priest's clothes? That was Chapter 2 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Who would steal a priest's clothes? Makes you wonder. That's where we'll leave things this week. A little bit of a cliffhanger. We'll be back next week with Chapter 3 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition. A reminder, the book is available everywhere. If you don't want to wait, you can get the audiobook pretty much everywhere except Audible, Google Play, Kobo, Apple Books, iTunes, Nook Audiobooks, Scribd, Chirp. Ebook's available everywhere. The paperback's at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. As far as I know, that's it for now, but I'm expecting it at bookshop.org any day now, because they do have my other books there. And I'm back at writing the next Alibi Jones novel, which feels pretty good. And it's nice to be able to tell you that. 17,000 words in. And that is all for this week. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.